Hello and welcome to A Week in the News, the podcast from the Journal and the Chronicle talking about all the best stories that we've seen in the papers this week. I'm Chris Scott, the social media editor for the two papers, and this week I'm joined by four new hosts. I'm joined by Catherine Riddell from the Press Association, Herbert Soden from the Press Association, and Kieran Southern, also from the Press Association.
Hello.
And we're also honoured to have Abby O'Leary from the Mirror join us today. Hello, Abby.
Hi, Chris.
Okay, so one of the stories that caught my attention this week was another publication was printed and sent out, but this has caused quite a lot of controversy, and it's something to do with Newcastle students. Abby, can you explain a little bit more about what this controversy started over?
Yeah, of course. So the publication is called the University Life Paper, and to actually put it in some context, it's a national brand that's headed up by smaller teams in universities around the country, and Newcastle University is one of those teams. And what actually came about last week is it printed the edition of the paper with a front page splash and lots of information about fresher life and the goings on and the debauchery around fresher life. But
such as what were we talking about?
Well, this particular one was quite extreme, which is why it's come about as a story in the news. And it was things like basically how much they're drinking and kind of putting it into making them feel proud that they're drinking this much, and how many people were caught being sick on the streets, how many people were caught passed out, and also, which is just truly awful in my eyes, is that they were given certificates if they actually ended up in the Royal Victoria Infirmary, a Newcastle hospital. And I just think there's so many things coming into play there that are wrong. But not only that, this actually found its way into family homes in Jesmond, which is a well-known student area in the city. And again, families with children, they don't want to see that coming through their letterbox. So yeah, it's a very contentious issue, and you know, I'm sure everyone has a lot to say on the subject.
Yeah, and it wasn't just heavy drinking as well, it was sexual exploits and what people were up to, and it's caused a little bit more anger, I think is a better word to use than controversy, in terms of this in the people of the city, because especially with the amount of rapes that have been going on in the city at the moment, which is truly horrific, having all these sexual exploits next to a story about rape in the paper, it was just seemed wrong. Catherine, you went to Newcastle Uni. Is this paper typical of student life?
Well, I think obviously people choose to go to Newcastle partly because it's a party city and they know that it's a great nightlife. But I think as students, they're all clever people. You know, they shouldn't be going out aiming to drink themselves stupid and end up in hospital. And I don't think this paper should be promoting that with these certificates. And the fact that they've referred to the rapes as well alongside that is just making it even worse.
For me, this reminds me of the lad culture that's popped up over the last few years, which glamorises young people, particularly students, going out and getting so drunk that they're forced to be taken into hospital, or the attitude to girls, which is about 30 years out of date, very misogynistic. Websites such as Uni Lad and the Lad Bible, and I think this is almost directly linked to those websites and that culture that's grown up over the last few years.
Everyone in this room, you know, we went to university and graduated quite recently, really, in the last few years. Did anyone notice this whilst they were at university? Herbert, what university did you go to?
I went to Sheffield Hallam University.
Okay, and what was the culture like there?
It was really strange. In the first year, I noticed a huge culture shift, and you had this suddenly this laddish behaviour that you hadn't really seen since the early 90s. Just suddenly start going on, and these attitudes, as Kieran quite rightly says, are massively out of date. And it's so strange that students, when they should be kind of trying to drag us all forwards, prefer to kind of drag society back 20 or 30 years.
That's interesting. So what you're saying is, with all the social progression that we've made in the last 20, 30 years in terms of women's rights, women equality, gay rights, it's actually the young movement has helped push them forward, but they're also holding society back in terms of, you know, as you said, the outdated views that they're holding.
Yeah, I'm not, by all means, I'm not saying everybody, but there is kind of like a vocal, like kind of almost vocal, quite large minority that kind of wants to push people back.
And I think what comes into play here is that there's an idea that when students or high school leavers, whatever, go to university, you do have to take on some sense of responsibility and become a grown-up in some form. But the idea of peer pressure, I think, very much still exists in universities and societies. Society is a major way of life for some students and joining societies. And peer pressure isn't something that's left in high school, in my eyes, and comprehensive and primary schools. It's actually even stronger, I think, in universities when, you know, you're being put into an alien environment and you need to make friends. And I think that's why some students can just be swept away in this. And, you know, they are clever people. Students, you know, they are the future. They're clever. They're doing their degrees. And I just think it's very easy to them to get swept away in the culture and not stop and think about what they're doing so much.
Let's talk about this lad culture then, and glamorising this type of behaviour, because a couple of days ago, Mr. Oyoy made his apology with a web exclusive on our website, and he just come out of prison. I think, Abby, you'd probably be best explaining who Mr. Oyoy is, why he was in prison, because our numbers on our website went absolutely mental and doubled the traffic on our website. Who is he and why is he so popular?
Well, Mr. Oyoy is a self-made viral star of this region. I guess that's how you could say it. He makes his own videos, and very often he's not wearing much. The one that I've seen, he's got some kind of plastic bag on his head to give you a feel for what you're to expect when you watch a video of Mr. Oyoy. And he's called Mr. Oyoy because he's coined that phrase, Oyoy, as
his own. Are you going to make the noise for us?
I'm not going to make the noise for you, I'm afraid, Chris, because, no, that wouldn't be enjoyable. Yeah, so he's just made these kind of viral videos of him doing, in my opinion, quite ridiculous things.
But he won a talent show or a viral show, didn't he? I think he won £1,000 on this viral show, and then he got into a bit of bother. So he'd become quite big, and then he got into a little bit of bother. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so he won £1,000, in a viral video competition of some sort. And then not long after, he was at a party, which did get out of control. And he was actually arrested and sent to prison for trashing people's cars and almost terrorising people, and that in the area, and that can be the only way of describing it, I think.
So what are we making with Mr. Oyoy then? Is he someone that we should enjoy? Is he an entertainer, or are we classing him as, you know, something that a lot of people label Geordie Shore as being a waste of time?
As far as I can see, he's got no obvious talent, and he's just, he makes his own videos doing not much, yet he seems to have achieved a quite sizable degree of fame, which is, I think it's quite symptomatic of the time that we live in right now, where everyone really literally does, we're getting closer to what Andy Warhol claimed just a 15 minutes of fame. I think in this postmodern era, we are actually getting closer and closer towards. Mm.
So here you've just been talking about the loud culture. Is this what this is? Is this celebrating this type of outdated behaviour?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's almost as if he's been rewarded for just, like, completely negative behaviour. And it's just, you always think, you see, like, you know, boys and maybe men looking at this and thinking, well, if he's getting rewarded for it, then maybe why not me? And I know it's a simplification, but it just doesn't seem right somehow.
Are we not being a bit too harsh on this guy? Is he not just, you know, obviously there's an audience for it, and I would imagine a lot of these people think they're laughing with him rather than at him. So we've been a little bit too harsh on criticising people's tastes.
I think there is an element of he is enjoying his 15 minutes of fame, and we can all say, oh, you know, he's this, that and the other, but if we were given 15 minutes of fame, I would hope for myself it'd be something more than these viral videos that Mr. Oyoy makes, but I'm sure we would all enjoy it. And I think actually what it comes down to is what we as a society now find entertaining, in terms of like reality TV shows, and you know, some of them are great, that's fine, but I think it does boil down to what we find entertaining, really. But yeah. You know, his videos are not for me, but they are for some people.
Well, that's because you're a renowned snob, though, Abby, isn't it, of course?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's enough oi oi for me, because we're going to get accused of giving them a platform again. let's move on to something that I think everyone will say was great news for the region. When Newcastle Airport announced this week, in conjunction with United, that there's going to be regular flights, 5 days a week from Newcastle to New York City, the Big Apple. Catherine, you're from the Northeast. Yep. What does it mean?
Well, it's definitely big news because, obviously, in the past, if you wanted to go to somewhere like New York, you'd either have to go to Manchester or Amsterdam. But now we're going to have a direct link. And to say that Newcastle's going to have something like that, it almost puts us up with places like London and Manchester in having international links. And apparently there were flights to New York previously, but I can't remember that. And they've been trying to set these flights up for some years, but there's been some setbacks, like the financial recession was one of them. But yeah, I think it's definitely be good for the region and things like business links. I don't know personally if I would be using the flight, but if anyone else can recommend anything.
But, you know, I don't think it's a case of having to plan now whether you'll be using them or not. It's just as and when people fancy a trip away. I think
you'd enjoy a nice trip to New York after all the stresses of your job. Yeah, I think you'd enjoy a nice stroll through Central Park.
I've never been to America, so...
Well, you know what?
Give me the opportunity.
Well, cheap plug alert, but we do have a fantastic insider's guide from one of our reporters who lives in New York or has lived in New York. She's wrote a 12-point guide, insider's guide. I'll put the link up with this podcast so you guys can see it. But it's stuff that you might... You know, it's not things I think people think about. It's not just talking about the, like, go and see the Brooklyn Bridge or Central Park. It's like these little niche things that people would really enjoy. And as we said in the piece, you can thank us later, because I think you'll really enjoy it. Has anyone else been to New York or want to go?
I've never been to New York, but I would love to go. And I think the city getting a direct link to New York is great from a prestige point of view. Puts them up there, as Catherine said, with the likes of London and Manchester. What I'm interested in seeing is if the appetite for it is there and whether they can sustain it over a long period of time. Two people from the region, will they use this flight enough to ensure?
Yeah, because they've already said, haven't they, in Newcastle Airport? It was quite a strange press conference because we covered it and it was all nicey-nice. And then right at the end, there was just this little bit of a warning that, oh, you best use it or it's gone. Use it or lose it, as people were saying. And so that was quite a strange thing. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see if people use it. And I think the appetite's there, judging by our website and what people have been saying. And, you know, cheap plug alert, United, if you want to give me a cheap a flight, I will do a nice write-up for you and recommend that people go. Perks of the job, everybody. Okay, so seeing as today is Halloween, we can't go the whole pod without mentioning Halloween. So what I think the readers are interested in, the listeners are interested in, and I'm interested in, is what you guys are up to tonight. Catherine?
Well, I've got two younger sisters who are still going trick-or-treating, and so they'll be dressing up, and I'll be going around with them, helping them to collect some sweets, and hopefully they'll give me some as well.
What did you dressing up as?
They're dressing up as skeletons.
And are you dressing up as a big skeleton as well?
I don't think so. I'll have to wait and see.
Okay. Kieran, what are you up to?
I would love to be going out trick-or-treating, but I'm going to be covering the Newcastle Eagles basketball game for the Journal.
Dressed as an eagle?
Yeah, dressed as an eagle. Unless you want to recommend a different outfit. But tip off 7:30 in case you want to come down.
Oh, it is cheap plug time. I like this. Okay. Abby, what are you up to?
Well, unashamedly, I'm going out on a classic Halloween night out, so I'm looking forward to it with some friends.
Fantastic. Fancy dress?
not so much. Maybe just a black dress, some makeup. I don't know. Not
zombie reporter.
Yeah.
I like
nothing
it.
Too full on.
Herbie, anything exciting?
Probably going to go to the park and bob for apples in the duck pond.
Well, I really hope not, because you're going to get arrested and people mistake you for the homeless person that you pretended to be a few weeks back. All right. Okay, so let's move on to everybody's favourite piece, Babbling On. These are things that you've seen this week that you're going to be talking to your friends about in the pub. Abby, you had an interesting experience on your way to work this morning. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I get the metro into work and back every day, so I feel like I spend a lot of time on the metro. And it's fine, the Newcastle metro is great, but everyone, as soon as they get onto that carriage, you do go into kind of zombie-like mode.
Very apt for Halloween.
Very apt for Halloween, yeah. You don't want to make eye contact with anyone, you don't want to speak to anyone, which I can understand. It's either very...
Is that not just because you're a snob coming from London with the mirror?
It's most definitely not. I love public transport. I think public transport is great.
Keeping with the left-wing traditions of your paper there, your Simon Fox would be very proud of you.
Yeah, the mirror, paper of the people. so people can sometimes go into a trance-like mode. But today I got on the metro and a wasp got on the metro with me.
Holding
my hand, yeah.
Nice.
And it sent the whole carriage into carnage and... That started to get people talking. I think the wasp actually got off a couple of stops later.
Where was he going? Did you manage to see?
I can't remember the stop. I was too paranoid about not being stung, to be honest. But it really got...
And that was just by the penalty fare.
It got everyone talking and laughing. And, you know, it was pretty early. So that's quite a thing at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I had a great chat with a lady who'd done the Great North Run a couple of weeks ago and found out about... all about how she did and her injuries and things. So, yeah, it was great. It's just something quirky like that can be a good start to your day.
Nice. Okay, Kieran, what's your babble this week?
With it being Halloween, I was reading an interview with John Carpenter last night, who was the director for the original Halloween film, which, in case you don't know, is a cult classic and regularly regarded as one of the greatest scary films of all time. And he was saying that he was decrying the low quality of current horror films that are coming out in the pictures today, or the cinema, I should say, up here. And I couldn't agree more with him. I went to see Annabelle last week, and I've never been so disappointed in all my life.
Well, that's a big statement.
Yeah.
And so, okay, then, on for a film, especially, yeah. So, okay, then, what's your favourite Halloween or scary movie?
Either Halloween...
Well, you've got to say that now after you've just been plugging it.
Or Paranormal Activity, which came out a few years ago. But that's actually very good for a modern horror film.
Well, I thought it was awful, but we'll move on. Catherine, what's your babble this week?
Well, if I was in the pub with my friends, I think it would be appropriate to talk about how Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey has been recalled in certain countries in Europe.
Oh, that's been in my throat just hearing its name. Why has it been recalled?
It's been recalled because it has an antifreeze ingredient in it, which apparently it meets US standards, the people who ship the whiskey to Europe, but doesn't meet Europe standards. So Finland, Norway and Sweden have recalled it from shelves, and some bars in the UK have said they're not going to serve it this weekend as well, which might be disappointing for some.
Okay, so for antifreeze, for people who don't know, has, you know, what effect does it have on you?
Potentially could make you go blind if you drink it.
Right, so literally drinking yourself blind. Yeah. Okay, let's try and avoid that, people. Okay, Herbert, I'll go to you. What's your babble this week?
I'm just thinking about cat names. I've got a couple. Like, if I was to have a grey cat, it'd be called Graham. I was possibly thinking about Tasker as well.
That's a good cat name.
Yeah,
Tasker.
Yeah. So how many cats have you got, Herbert?
Unfortunately, I don't have any at the moment.
Right.
At the moment.
All right. Okay, well, on that bombshell, I'll move on to my babble. And my babble this week is, in keeping with the pod, I think this is definitely going to be called A Week in the News, the Cheap Plug Edition, because my babble this week is another cheap plug, but it's really, really good. We've launched Twitterati 2014 for the journal, And what we're asking our readers and our listeners to do is send in their nominations for the people they think are the most influential on Twitter in the Northeast. So no Piers Morgan or anyone like that. These are just Northeast people who are fantastic on social media. Now, to nominate, all you have to do is use the hashtag NETwitterArty on Twitter, or you can even email me, chris.scott@trinitymirror.com, and send in your nominations that way. Send in as many nominations as you want and tell us why. These can be people from sport, from business, from news, anyone that in the Northeast that you think deserves recognition. And I'll leave it there this week, I think. So I'd like to say thank you to Abby O'Leary from The Mirror. She's going to go back now and tell people all about riding on public transport, because the people in The Mirror, I'm sure, will be disgusted or proud, depending if they are as left-wing paper, paper of the people, no problem. And from the Press Association, Catherine Riddell, Herbert Sodden and Kieran Sutherland, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And that's a week in the news. Bye now.